Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Tara Gatewood. Pageant royalty, often they're positive female role models and representatives of our community. It's the hope that they are rooted in their culture and communities. But what about the guys? Mr. Native pageants are getting more and more popular. We're starting to see more Mr. Natives at parades, powwows, and other community events. Can the guys do it as well as the girls? Join us as we talk about Mr. Native pageants right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The head of Canada's largest First Nations organization says it's time to end the violence among men and women in the country's Native community. He was responding to a recent report from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police that 70% of Aboriginal women murdered in Canada died at the hands of other Aboriginal people. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
Recently, the head of the RCMP, Commissioner Bob Paulson, mentioned the 70% statistics in a letter. Paulson said the numbers apply to cases that have been solved by police. He says in most cases, female homicides across all races are linked to family and spousal violence. Perry Bellegarde is the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations. Bellegarde says these are important statistics to know, and it's time to come up with strategies to end the violence.
We need wellness centers. There's got to be more investments in housing, more investments in daycare, more investments in detox centers, more investments in transportation. The list will go on and on. We've got to use it in a proactive way, and that's why we're asking for the information. Plan the strategies together.
Bellegarde also says there's a huge fiscal imbalance, and he's asking the federal government to make the necessary investments so that First Nations people can enjoy what other Canadians have. He says it's a complicated issue linked to poverty, addiction, high rates of incarceration, and the abuse endured by generations of people who attended residential schools. The Native Women's Association says the data may help suggest where programs are needed, but it says there's still an acute need for a national inquiry into murdered and missing Aboriginal women. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Representatives from the White House are meeting with Native youth today in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's a kickoff event for Generation Indigenous. President Obama launched the GenI initiative in 2014 to focus on improving the lives of Native youth. 300 students in grades 9 through 12 were invited to attend. In this high-tech world of instant communication, it may be hard to imagine leaving a message for someone when the message may take hours or even days to compose, and the recipient may not receive it for hundreds of years. As Jim Kent learned, along with a group of Lakota students, that's what Indigenous people did in what's come to be known as rock art. Here's his report.
It's a rough ride along a narrow, winding road to reach the secluded area where ancient Indigenous people once camped and left their messages on the face of a towering sandstone outcrop. Located on land that's part of the Black Hills Wild Horse Sanctuary, this historic site dates back at least 10,000 years to the last ice age. Images of ancient elk and mammoth are just two of the petroglyphs that adorn the extensive rock wall. Visiting the petroglyph site today are Lakota students from the Pine Ridge Reservation. Audrey Jacobs is the museum educator for the Red Cloud Indian School's Heritage Center. She's here to help explain the ancient art. Jacobs says having the opportunity to bring the students to this site is not only educational, but could also be inspirational.
Rock art in this area, and especially in North America in general, has been so little studied that one day one of these kids who are the descendants of the folks who made the rock art, you know, they might go on to study the rock art and contribute to the body of knowledge that we have and expand that.
The trip to the sanctuary also gives the students an opportunity to see another important part of their Lakota history, the wild horse. Audrey Jacobs says it's one thing to know that wild horses were a huge part of your culture, but to see them, along with ancient rock art, can actually bring the past to life. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
So it will stay there forever?
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the Tribal Telecom May 4th, weaving pathways across the digital divide. Information on services and Tribal Telecom 2015 at ahcnm.org. Support by the Association of American Indian Physicians. Colon cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death in American Indians 50 and over. For yourself, your family, and our community, get screened. Info at AmericanIndianCancer.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. When young women get ready to participate in pageants in America, there's a lot that needs to be done. Sometimes it's hair, makeup, dresses, and good answers to random questions is what's on their mind. And for Native American pageants, contestants have to participate and practice in their native language skills, culture, and make sure their traditional attire is on point. Generally, pageant royalty are representatives for their schools, communities, and tribes, and generally they're female. But there's another side to the pageant scene these days, men. Mr. Native or Mr. Indian pageants feature young men going through the same kinds of competitions that young women go through, and some male royalty have the same responsibilities as their female counterparts. Still, others hold mock titles that they won by eating or racing in contests. And so today we are asking you, can male pageant winners represent our communities too? Join the conversation. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And joining us today here in Studio 49 is Dave Nezzi. He is the past Mr. Indian for Arizona State University and a current law student at the University of New Mexico. And he is Navajo. It's our pleasure to welcome him here to Native America Calling. Good day to you, Dave.
Hi, Tara. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you with us. And Dave, I want to start off with you. You know, what is it like? You know, number one, just for anyone to say, this is Mr. Indian.
It's definitely a shock, you know, because it's a very strong name, you know, to be Mr. Indian and to have to represent an entire university as Mr. Indian. You're sort of this individual who has to, you know, present themselves well in the community and also, you know, encourage, you know, the youth as well to pursue a higher academic.
And when did you first get the idea that you were going to step into this arena?
Well, during my pageant, that was the first one that I've ever experienced and the only one that I've ever experienced. And it was sort of random. You know, I saw a flyer on campus that was promoting the pageant, and I thought about it. You know, I'm like, this is something I could do, you know, and the prize package that was along with it, too. I thought, you know what, I could use a scholarship. I'm a struggling student right now. That could also help as well. And so I didn't really know what I was getting myself into.
And so had you seen other pageants before you stepped into this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have seen other pageants, but most of them, you know, were female pageants.
And were they from the Native community or some of the mainstream ones?
A little bit of both, but primarily mostly the mainstream ones.
So you had kind of a clue of what women go through to carry a title, and you said, okay, I'm in. Count me in. What happened next?
So it is along the same lines in terms of, you know, being screened, you know, to qualify, application process, make sure you're within the right age group, that you're a tribal member. And then once you get past all that application part, there is that that when the competition actually starts, you know, with the screening, with the judges and the difficult questions, you know, one question that I was given was related to what my thoughts about decolonization was, you know, so they're really in-depth current events that you were tested upon. And then, you know, the actual pageant that had occurred, it did involve a lot of the native talents, traditional attire, as well as the questions, the on the spot questions that you'd be asked.
And I'm sure this might have been some of the, a first time that an opportunity like this was presented to you and other people you were competing with. Was there any side conversation about, how participating in this might change things, for our communities, even the student body at your school?
There, during my reign as Mr. Indian, I did see that there are a lot of benefits, to having a male role model in this academic setting, because we would, travel to different communities and then, represent ourselves, whether it was a powwow or some sort of cultural event. It was having that was sort of a goal that the university wanted to do, was continue to have a male representative.
And so when we boil this all down, is it about role models or, as some might think, it's about beauty?
When I was graduating, my professor said, there's Dave. He has brains and beauty. but for me, it was an experience about being that role model. Also, it was an experience where I could develop myself, personally, because this was also my experience as a leader and, how to network within communities. Being that mentor, I was able to visit some of the local schools like Gila River Crossing as well as Salt River Elementary. And I was able to present to those classrooms and share about, college life experience, but also share a little bit about who I am as well.
And what kind of reactions did you get as you reached out beyond the school campus?
We often took tours on the parade route, and we were in Sacatone at one of the Gila River festivals. And I remember we turned a corner, and there were these little kids, and they saw us coming around. They go, "Oh, here come the princesses!" And, I don't know what to do at that point. I just, I wave, and then they realize, there's a guy up there. But then at the same parade, I would turn another corner, and there was a group of women. And they're like, "Ooh, Mr. Indian!" going crazy. So that's sort of like the experience that I would get, outside of, classroom settings.
And you're an intelligent person. What did you make? What did you think of all this? You get one reaction here, another there. Maybe people, your buddies, you had a couple of things to say, or people you didn't even know were just blown away and impressed. How did you make sense of all of this?
Being this was the first experience that I ever had, it was something I had to get used to, quickly. Because it was a dedication for an entire year, and part of it was visiting communities, but the other part was also the academic side, making sure that the organization was successfully run, and there was those two counterparts. I was thinking about a conversation that I had with my cousin, because we like to tease a lot, right? And when I had mentioned that I was going to run for Mr. Indian, I invited him out to be at the competition. And so he's like, "Oh, hey, I heard you're running for Miss Navajo. Good." It was just that, I was used to the teasing. So, if anything like that came up, it was nothing I couldn't handle.
Yeah, cousins are really good for
that. They're good at that.
Right on. Well, we are hearing Dave Nezzi's story. He is a title holder, and we are talking about pageants when it's men who are stepping on the stage or maybe the platform. Have you ever witnessed one of these? What did you think? And, were you proud? What about also the opportunity for some of these pageants to present positive Native male role models? What do you think? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2000. 1-800-925-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I want to go ahead and bring in another title holder. And again, if you have any questions for Dave, you can call us to 1-800-99-NATIVE. And now let's go ahead and hear from Norman, Oklahoma. On the line with us today, we have Turner Wentworth Hunt. He is the outgoing Mr. Indian OU, and he comes to us from the Muscogee Creek Nation. Welcome to Native America Calling, Turner.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And Turner, our pleasure to have you with us on the line. Go ahead and let the folks know, you know, the title that you're carrying.
Well, as you mentioned before, I'm the outgoing Mr. Indian OU. I've held that title for the last 2 years. It's been a fun 2 years. Got to meet a lot of new people, go around, participate in a lot of events, cultural events. It was quite an interesting ride. I'll be graduating this December, or I would have probably tried for another round.
And, you know, just kind of taking a look back, you know, as we asked Dave to take a look back, what do you feel, you know, is something that, really impacted your time with this title, either for yourself or maybe the people you interacted with?
Well, the Mr. Indian hadn't really been formulated, like hadn't been put down concrete. It's been a part of the student organization here for about 6 to 8 years. So it doesn't have a whole lot of guidelines other than, you know, basically do the same things, be at the same events that the student organizations put on that Miss Indian OU will be at. And so I took that and I ran with it, and I used it to get into fundraise for the Centennial Powwow that we had last year. I used it to go up to the state capitol as a delegate for the University of Oklahoma and kind of ask some questions about Columbus Day, which is one of the big things that I've been kind of rivaling, kind of going against, and got to meet a lot of new, interesting people up there. So, yeah, it's been the ability to just kind of take it and do what I needed to do with it. And as long as I set the positive role model for the kids, I mean, we have programs where we bring up elementary school kids, and when they hear that there's a Mr. Indian OU, they are first a little confused, but then they kind of want to grow up and be one, and it's actually quite interesting to see.
And Turner, you know, just going back to that point of, you know, people's reactions and maybe if they were surprised or, as you said, confused, you know, does that mean anything to you? Does that is that a call that, you know, when we see women in pageants, you know, often they're called role models. But when we see a male in this type of position, you know, people react differently. Does that, you know, signify to you that we do need to include men in the conversation more as these kind of role models?
Yes. I actually had to ask, I had to go through and debate about the rules, because one of the rules for Mr. Indian OU is that you can't cohabitate with a female. And that was a problem for me because I was married. And I asked them the reasons why that they wouldn't do that, and they said, well, originally, it's because we don't want a bad role model. And so, well, how does being married create a bad role model? And they basically rewrote the rule so that I could participate. But you see, there's when I tell a lot of my friends and stuff about it, they're like, Mr. Indian, you're the Miss Indian OU princess or whatever. Yeah, that same joking stuff that Babe was talking about earlier. But then when you go to the communities and the older women, the elders, they all sit around and they're like, you know, they kind of just nod and shake their head. Or, of course, the women in my family oogle over it and, oh, you're Mr. Indian OU, and so happy and proud. And so that's what it brings to me, is the fact that it's more than just three-pronged attack, because I can do what's good for the university, I can do what's good for my tribe, and I can do what's good for me. And I'll use this title as an instrument in that process. So I go from joking around with young little kids to talking to state senators.
So you really had a chance to, you know, use this opportunity in different ways. And Turner, you're going to hang out with us on the line today. And if you just tuned in, this is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, your host, and we are talking about pageants that feature men. Have you ever witnessed a Mr. Indian, maybe a Mr. Native, maybe even the name of your tribe has a competition that highlights young men? A lot of communities call it brave contests, things like the Little Beaver up in Dulce, New Mexico, and in other parts, there are brave competitions. So if your tribe hosts one of these, what is the story behind it? Why did it get started? Was there a need to have more positive male role models? Or did it spring about from something else? Call us right now. We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can also get to us on social media. We are tweeting at 1-800-99-NATIVE2. Go ahead and send us a tweet or post on our Facebook. Let's go ahead and continue to build, you know, the different stories that we're hearing and the areas that we're connecting to. I want to go ahead and bring in another voice right now. From Tohatchee, New Mexico is Dwight Loop, and he is the current Tohatchee High School Brave, and he is Navajo. Welcome to the hour, Dwight.
Hello?
Hi, Dwight. How you doing?
Good.
Great. And Dwight, just go ahead, jump in there. You know, what does it mean to hold the title that you do?
Well, for me, in my community, in my school, it's a sense of a role of leadership as well as responsibility. And just as the two mentioned before, it's also a nice little applause for joking, but it's also something very serious in our community. And one of the requirements for our school is you would have to at least speak a little Navajo and understand it.
And Dwight, you know, being able to speak our language, you know, we just had a program about it. You know, it isn't the easiest thing. Sometimes that comes with a heavy hand as well as a lot of emotions. And, you know, you're able to step into this arena and speak your language and probably even talk about your culture, too. Dwight, do you think that you are able to influence folks hearing, you know, how proud you are of your own culture, especially when you get to talk about it with this title?
Yes.
And what does it mean to you to have other people, maybe even from your own community, see somebody that they know, you know, up there on the stage or carrying this title?
Well, it's for me, it's a huge honor. And it's also, it's nice because you get to meet new people, people that you might actually connect with in the future. And it's a nice outlet for resources. Like a month ago, we had our Navajo Nation Fair, and I got a chance to have lunch with our outgoing president, Ben Shelley. And that was a very good experience. It was nice to hear that our former president was doing stuff for education and influencing the Brave pageant.
And Dwight, you know, we're hearing from representatives today from different schools. What about, you know, that ability to create a platform and speak about it or pursue different conversations that maybe, you know, people aren't hearing certain things? Dwight, what have you used your title to talk about or either connect to people with?
I've used it to talk about the problems we have in our community, as well as some of the problems we have with the our government, but not most of the time. And I've also used it to influence other men or boys to try out for the title, because it really is a good title, and it teaches you responsibility as well as leadership.
And Dwight, you definitely, you know, are a leader in our eyes, just even coming on this program. It's not easy to be on a national broadcast and you know, share your thoughts like this. And we appreciate you doing that. Dwight, before we let you go, anything else you want to tell us about why being able to have the opportunity like you do to carry a title, you know, why it's important in our communities.
Well, it's important because it shows that young men haven't lost interest in their community or their culture. And it also shows that you're, like it says, you're brave enough to compete for it and show that you still want to learn and know your language and your talents.
Very nice, Dwight. We wish you well. And as you continue to lead your school there in Tohatchi, thank you for your call today, Dwight, from the Navajo Nation. And if there are any other title holders out there, both male and female, we also want you to join us and tell us, you know, what does it mean to hear that Native men are also stepping into this arena? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Dave, I want to come back to you. I know you've been, you know, hearing from different gentlemen from across the country. Anything else you want to add, you know, that just helps us understand more about how special these titles are?
Yes, there was a question about, you know, what the title is used for. And one of the things that I wanted to emphasize was not only the education part, but also the cultural awareness, you know, making a present known, you know, on a large campus like ASU. There are several other Native student organizations that, you know, also try to promote the same thing. But, you know, with our organization, it was primarily about, you know, that cultural awareness and being in the community and connecting with, individuals.
And do you feel that by having this title or somebody speaking about culture in this way, what was filling a void that maybe we weren't hearing from the male side before?
Absolutely. You know, I think it also demonstrates that, you know, that men are aware, are culturally involved, you know, with their community as well. And they can, you know, demonstrate that, you know, in front of other people.
All right. Thanks for that, Dave. And today we are joined in studio by Dave Nezzi. He is the past Mr. Indian for Arizona State University and a current law student at the University of New Mexico. It's our pleasure to have him here in Studio 49 with us. Also on the line from Norman, Oklahoma, is Turner Wentworth Hunt. And he is the outgoing Mr. Indian OU, and he is Muscogee Creek. Both of these men are on the line with us today. If you have any questions for them or you just like to share your thoughts on what it means to hear more Native men stepping up to be role models, and as Dave just shared, you know, expressing the importance that culture plays in our lives, give us a call, share with us, 1-800-996-2848. It's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'm going to give a special shout out to our elders today. We know you hold a lot of wisdom for us. As you're hearing this conversation, you know, what's going through your mind? Are you excited to hear that the pageant arena has also invited young Native men and just men in general? Call us right now. Tell us what is on your mind. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Everybody is invited to participate today. Share your thoughts, and maybe you wish something like this was happening in your own community. You can call in and tell us about that too. We'll be right back. This is Turtle Island Reggae by Keys IMC and Sempowali 20. There are a couple of voices that will feature on the next Native America Calling.
Hello, brothers and sisters. It's been such a long time. Been here the whole time.
We're paying tribute to Native reggae music in part two of our Reggae Rewind of 20 years of Native broadcasting.
Bye. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. Native American Rights Fund has been helping Indian tribes for over 40 years with critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior with your support for NARF's work. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling from Studio 49 today. And I'm your host, Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo. And we are having a great discussion today. We are also inviting you to. The number to dial in is 1-800-99-NATIVE. And if you attend any parade or fair, there's probably a princess, a missus, or queen standing on one of the floats and wearing a crown, from the Sweet Corn Princess in Ohio to Miss Indian World Pageant, Native royalty as well. Everybody there, they're all representing some of the best of our communities and cultures. But what about young men? There are a few Native communities that host male pageants, and male contestants vie for a title and sometimes a sash that puts them in an equal place with their female counterparts. But is there really room for male royalty in the pageant world? We want you to answer that question by calling in 1-800-99-NATIVE. Can men represent the community just as well? And if you're a former or current Mr. or Mrs., tell us if the guys stepping into the arena today to wear a sash and crown, you know, can they do it as well as you did, or as well as you're doing? And to those who have never competed for a title, you can also share in the conversation too. Do you feel that men can represent their communities as well as women as title holders? Join our conversation. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And often we wonder, you know, where did all of these pageants come from? And definitely, how did they become to our Native nations? I want to go ahead and bring in a voice right now, somebody who knows a little bit on this topic, so that we can understand a little bit more of, you know, where some of this came from in the United States. And joining us now from Bloomington, Indiana, is Dr. Beverly Stolce, and she is a professor Amitra at Indiana University in the Department of Anthropology. And we'd like to go ahead and welcome her to the hour. Hello, Beverly.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
And Beverly, great for you. Great to have you on the line. We're hearing some great stories from the gentleman that we have invited to the hour today. But we're curious about the history of pageants in America. And please unlock some of that for us today. You know, where did all of this come from?
Well, it was the case in the 1880s. A lot of things were going on in this country. A lot of changes were happening. There were traveling shows all over the country. Communities were settling in everywhere in the West as well as the East. And so P.T. Barnum was very active. This is the same Barnum who went together and established the Barnum and Bailey circuses. So in the 1880s, he established the first beauty pageant in Delaware at Rehoboth Beach, and it was created really as a tourist attraction. Then in 1920, the Miss America contest was created in Atlantic City. And again, these were beach areas, and they were designed to really increase tourism especially. They also had utilized photo contests in newspapers especially, and this was something that involved baby contests, children contests, women's contests, and so on, where you would send in a photograph and someone would decide who was the winner, and then perhaps that winner would go to Hollywood or something else, not very many, of course. So that's fundamentally the history in this country. Those are the key points. And then, of course, it spread so that today you have many, many, many kinds of contests representing all different ethnic groups, all different age groups. There are many, many different kinds because this is a form of popular culture, really, and so anyone can establish one. It's not controlled. Of course, Miss America is, but it's not controlled. The idea is not controlled. So anyone
and Beverly, you know, as we hear, you know, where it had its origins for American culture, what about moving specifically into some of, you know, different ethnicities and different places? And of course, you know, we're curious about how it came to Native America. Any thoughts on that, Beverly?
Well, of course, there's been a lot of controversy, not only in the United States, but around the world, about the fact of there being such a predominance of a certain white Anglo kind of body, kind of individual who would win. For example, there was a huge controversy at one time in South Africa because South Africa was producing white winners. So this controversy has it reflects the issues in the larger cultures around the world, and this is the case with pageants, and it's one of the reasons why they're actually very interesting and very serious subjects to study, because they do reflect what is going on in the rest of the world, both positive and negative, gets played out in these pageants. So as people wanted to participate but found that there was such a predominance of the white female body being selected, then more and more ethnic groups, African-American and Asian-American, began to develop their own. And there are actually now books and articles which have been published about these. And it has spread all over the world. There are even prisons in Latin America that have beauty contests. So what I think is most interesting about Mr. Indian is that not so many other cultures have actually created these male pageants. So I would just suggest that there may be a connection to the fact that in many Native religions, the mythology, the foundation of the religion, has both male and female gods and goddesses. This is not so true in Christianity. So I think that the fact that there is a balance between the male and the female in the culture, and certainly some Native cultures are also matrilineal in their kinship systems. So I think that we see a balance in many Native cultures that you don't see. For example, you see a gender balance. So it is not surprising then that Native cultures would want to say, well, we'd like to have males as well as female pageants.
Beverly, that's an interesting take on it. And, you know, we're still discovering more about this. If you have any knowledge on the history of why pageants came to Native America, you can call in and share your information. Call us at 1-800-996-2848. It's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Also, if you know the history for a Mr. Indian or a Mr. Native in your community, why it got started, you know, what were some of those reasons? Did somebody feel it was an important thing to add? Give us a call. Tell us about it. 1-800-996-2848. Beverly, we have a caller on the line. We're going to bring in Dana in Queen Creek, Arizona, connecting to us online. Dana, what would you like to add?
Hey, good morning. I just wanted to congratulate Turner and Dave for actually stepping up. As we all know, as being coming from a cultural background, you know, one of the biggest things that we have to overcome is shyness. And, you know, speaking in public is one thing. And these two have actually, you know, by far passed that and, you know, are showing as a good leaders and showing our community that, yes, we all can do that and we all can overcome. So I just wanted to say congratulations to these guys and keep going. You guys are going far.
Thank you for your call, Dana. And if you'd also like to give a shout out to the men we have on the line with us, you can call in to 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And also you can feel free to send us a tweet. I want to welcome back our title holders. You know, on the line with us today, we have Turner Wentworth Hunt. He is the outgoing Mr. Indian OU, and he's Muscogee Creek. Also with us today, we have Dave Nezzi, and he is a past Mr. Indian for Mr. Indian for Arizona State University, and he's also a current law student, comes to us from the Navajo Nation. Welcome back, gentlemen. And Dave, I just wanted to give you a moment if there's anything you wanted to comment on. Beverly has given us a great view into the history of pageants. And after hearing what she shared and thinking about the title you hold, what's on your mind?
It is interesting to hear the brief history of the origin of you know, these pageantries, and how the male representative has been omitted. You know, and it's interesting also how she incorporated, you know, the backgrounds, you know, incorporating religion into that, and that's interesting how. You know, that she makes those parallels.
And, you know, just, you know, I guess kind of putting your own thoughts into this, you know, why do you think that we're starting to see more of these kind of pageants for men?
Possibly because of that, you know, the lack of it being there. You know, there are probably some students, you know, or people back then that said, you know, our children, you know, the men, the boys need additional role models. You know, we have our fathers, we have our grandfathers, we have our uncles who are there to support us as well. And I think, you know, they probably was just wanting that additional representation too.
All right. Thanks for that. And Turner, I'm going to ask you the same question. Why do you think more of these pageants are emerging?
Well, there's definitely a need for the male role model. I've seen that in my travels across the state. I don't know if that necessarily translates into the acceptance of a Mr. Indian OU or Mr. Indian specifically. You have to come back to me on that one. I apologize.
No worries on that. You know, I can't help but think about culture. A lot of the shows that we do, you know, it makes us think about that. It makes us wonder. It gets us closer sometimes to our own culture. And Dave, you know, when you think about maybe even the journey that men take when they're participating in pageants and learning more about their own culture, you know, is this another way to keep our cultures alive by, you know, one of these pageants is coming up and, you know, you get a chance to take some cultural inventory to see, you know, how am I doing? How much more do I need to know? Dave?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great question because, you know, when I was, you know, applying for the pageantry, you know, they wanted a talent portion, and often, you know, the typical idea is, you know, sing a song or you know, a dance, something like that, and I couldn't do neither one of those, but you know, I feel very comfortable telling stories. You know, that's one of the things that I embrace. You know, and so I also like to, you know, educate. So I combined the two together, and my presentation was a combination of science related to astronomy as well as the cultural component too. So I felt like I was, you know, using a storytelling talent, you know, a traditional talent, and educating and teaching others about that.
And Turner, I didn't ask you what your talent was. What was it that you used to you know, identify your abilities and, you know, strengths as a Native man?
Well, I don't have the storytelling abilities of Dave's, but I can sing. And I grew up going to Big Harbor Baptist Church, and we used to sing traditional Creek hymns, and so I sing one of those.
Nice, nice, nice. Those are beautiful, beautiful songs, and we've had the pleasure of hearing about them on the show here. And gentlemen, you know, as we take a look at what these pageants mean, there are also other pageants out there where, you know, they're a little bit more, maybe a little lax on all of the requirements to be a part of it, and sometimes they're just for plain fun, you know, competitions where they have men making fry bread, and, you know, walking away with titles. Like I think it was one here in the Southwest, you know, a fry bread king. And I've talked with other women who have witnessed some of these. And I think one comment that really sticks with me is, well, you know, these competitions are also good in another way because it teaches them, you know, things that that might be specific to one side of a gender role, like cooking. So if you have the men in there cooking too, maybe they're going to see a little bit of the side of things a Native woman goes through. And Turner, is there anything you'd like to share about, you know, maybe how this is also teaching you to understand the world of Native women?
Well, I've always enjoyed helping my mom out cooking, so I was exposed to that from an early age. But I believe that this is actually probably where Mr. Indian originated from. It was kind of a, okay, we want to have a Mr. Indian program. Let's kind of make it like the girls, but not so serious, and kind of have a little bit of fun with it. And from that, it's morphed over, you know, each person that came in and represented it changed it a little bit further and further. So now it's quite on the opposite end of the spectrum than those other types of pageants that you mentioned earlier, which they're all good and fun. I'll say that.
All right. Dave, anything to add?
Yeah, you know, the experience also, you know, being Mr. Indian also showed me how challenging, you know, this process is. So the females that often compete in these pageants, in these competitions, the dedication and the time and the effort that they put into this, you know, really gives, you know, gave me a sense of understanding, you know, what they have to go through.
And often when we do talk to title holders, you know, some of the women that have shared with us over the years, they also talk about, you know, things that they walk away with from the competition, you know, years later, maybe a skill you picked up or an opportunity you picked up while you were competing later on in life really means a big thing to you. Dave, did you experience anything or, you know, reflecting back how that pageant helped you in your life now?
Absolutely. You know, I was a title holder again during the 2010-2011, so it's been several years ago. And after graduating from ASU, I wanted to apply to law school. And, you know, the application process, you know, they would ask, tell us what you've done, you know, community service. What sort of outreach have you done? Talk a little bit about your professionalism and your, you know, experience as an individual. So it helped me tell a story. You know, being Mr. Indian was sort of like a springboard for a platform. I could talk about being a leader. I could talk about, you know, reaching out to the community. And so, you know, and also talk about the professional aspect of it, you know, organizational skills and professional development.
So it really, you know, gave you a good springboard then.
Absolutely. And, you know, and there's other things that it helped too, you know, so not just for my application to law school, but also applications for tribal scholarships too, because they often ask, you know, tell us about an experience that you've done for, you know, a tribal community.
Very nice. And, you know, also helps with the public speaking, too. That one is not always easy. All right. I want to go ahead and give the space, too, to another title holder on the line today. We have another gentleman joining us from Laveen, Arizona. It's Brandon Peltier. He is the first Mr. Indian at Fairfax High School. He's from the Gila River Indian community, and he is Pima Maricopa. Welcome to the hour, Brandon.
Hi, hello.
How you doing, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Are we stealing you from your classes today?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a good thing. But, you know.
Right on. Well, we don't want people missing their schoolwork, but it is an important thing. Having your Native voice, a young male Native voice, on the air with us today is very important. And Brandon, go ahead, use that voice. We want to know, you know, what does it mean to carry this title?
Well, you know, it's an honor, you know, to be a part of this, you know, to be able to represent, you know, Native Americans and my school, you know, because there aren't very many of us that are looked at, you know, greatly, you know, to be able to represent, you know, how to be a part of, this people to be recognized,
Sure. And Brandon, share with us, what is the most important thing, you wish people knew about your own community?
Just the ancestry, the background of my people, of our people, how we tied into the history when, everything, how this country was, brought up, how Native Americans tied into help build it, from the bottom.
And, Brandon, sometimes just even being able to be there to say those words, we still exist, that can change a lot of things. Brandon, we do appreciate you sharing with us and wish you well as you continue to lead folks with your title. And Dave, I also want to just get your thoughts. We're getting close to the end of the hour here, but we have a young man on the line in high school. You were somebody who went for a title when you were in college. Does that encourage you to even know that men, even Native men, even younger than you, realize the importance of being a leader like this?
Yeah, I think that's great, for a high school student to, to recognize that, there needs to be a male representative, a male role model for the Native community. Because, as a college student, we can visit the elementary schools, but we're still so far away from them in terms of age. We can't really, feel like there's a gap there. But, for a high school student that could do that sort of outreach, that's great.
And any encouraging words to future pageant or title holders out there, young men who might be in the listening audience today?
Definitely work on your public speaking skills as well as your cultural component. You get tested a lot too about your language and your competency of the your culture. The last thing that I would say is that go for it. It's bragging rights. Not very many people can say I'm Mr. Indian. And when you tell your buddies that, they can say that. It's something that you can own and you can say. And so, I'm Mr. Indian.
Well, there's still some that do, but not with the sash maybe. And Turner, go ahead. Your thoughts to any words to folks out there who might be considering this, or maybe even words to people to start programs like this.
No, I'm extremely excited to see that high schools are participating in this. Before I was contacted for the show, I knew that another college in Oklahoma. Oklahoma State had a Mr. Indian, but other than that, I didn't know that other colleges or other high schools had programs like this. And that's what I've been probably the last 4 or 5 months been working on so much, is because we actually didn't have anybody to fill the role of Mr. Indian OU for this upcoming year. And that's the battle you have to fight, is because even though you might not have somebody immediately following you, you know that you got high schools out there and different communities, and they're all kind of starting to push towards it. So it is definitely a program that you want to keep. And if you don't have it, you definitely probably want to try to introduce it. It produces, matter of fact, Mr. Indian OU has had a 100% graduation rate. All the candidates have come through, went on to graduate, which is kind of good with our demographics and graduation rates. So for encouraging anybody else, learn the history. It might seem like just dates and stuff in a book, but when you start putting all that stuff together and learning about how everything has come together to affect the way things are now, then that helps you understand your culture. That helps you understand the other culture, the dominant culture, whatever you want to call it. That we all live in. So.
All right. Thanks for that, Turner. And Beverly, I wanted to bring you back in too, as we look ahead and the future of pageants, any predictions? You think we're going to see more of this throughout the country?
Yes. Well, I think we certainly will with Native American cultures. This is a very strong leadership role, and I think there's a recognition throughout Native cultures that there is a need for more and more leaders. So I think we'll certainly see this expanding. I don't know whether it will move into the mainstream cultures or other ethnic groups. Very often, once a group sees something happening, then they want to do that too. But I also think that it's very much rooted in the Native American cultures, that gender roles are very different sometimes and different from mainstream roles. So I think this idea is one that is very powerful and offers a great deal of opportunity. So I certainly think it will spread among Native cultures.
And Beverly, what about just bringing, you know, the Native voice to different places? Turner said that he used his title to talk to, you know, influential people in the state. What about, you know, doors that might open up for our Native communities? What do you think?
Oh, I think this will be very, very important. And certainly, as all of the Mr. Indians have just spoken, they have already learned leadership skills, and Dave is in law school. So I think there's no question but that this is a route to leadership. It's a route to learning about your culture, learning about other cultures, and taking that position. And I'm so, I think it is so positive that all of the speakers have talked about being willing to go to elementary schools, go to the state legislature. This is very broadly defined, and I think it's a very, very strong position of leadership, and it's probably going to expand. And I would anticipate that some Mr. Indians are going to become state legislators themselves.
All right. And maybe I'm sitting right in front of one right now. Beverly, thank you for your call today, and also to our guests. Thanks to Dave Nezzi, who's here in Studio 49 with us. Also, Turner Wentworth, as well as Dwight Loop and Brandon Peltier. We wish you all the best as you continue to lead your communities. And thanks to our crew here, our interim executive producer, Tristan Ottone, our senior producer, Monica Brain, our associate producer, Andy Murphy, and Stephen Emmons, our engineer. Also, thanks to Kavi Movahed, who screened your calls today. And thanks to Antonia Gonzalez, anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood. Thank you for joining us. And we'll be back again tomorrow with a reggae treat for you.
Program support by the Gathering of Nations Powwow, North America's biggest powwow, April 25th and 26th in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Inviting thousands of dancers and championship drum groups, you can visit Powwow Alley, the Indian Traders Market, and join the action on Stage 49, plus the crowning of Miss Indian World. The Gathering of Nations, North America's biggest powwow, April 25th and 26th in the Pit.
Sacred Wind Communications education nonprofit, Sacred Wind Community Connect, is a proud sponsor of this program. Sacred Wind provides high school and college scholarships and internet training to areas of the Navajo Nation and Pueblo of Laguna in New Mexico, where the parent company provides voice and broadband services. Sacred Wind believes that broadband technologies can reinforce Native cultures and offer other opportunities for self-determination. For more information, log on to sacredwindcommunications.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.